It's Tuesday morning. It's time for another Tom and Shane video, and thanks for joining us. We hope you will enjoy today's broadcast, but hey, don't forget to subscribe and ring the notification bell. Like us, leave a comment, because YouTube likes that kind of stuff, and they move us up in the search when we get a lot of comments or a lot of likes. And also, we're doing this with StreamYard, and there's a free description of that in the description below, or a free link to it anyway, so you can try it out, see if you like it. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, well, Patreon, there's a link to that in the description below on YouTube, so check it out. And also on Facebook Live and on our replays of all of our stuff. Well, today we want to go back to 2008 because, well, a lot of similarities in this time that we're going through, Shane, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Little.
It's a ditto dot, and it's also a ditto dot to 78 and 99. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Well, let's rip this.
I was going to say, as we go through the things that happened here, there was a lot more things going on in 2008 than just gas prices. And it's really quite amazing, Shane, that gas prices, with all the upheaval in government that was going on back then, and the monetary systems, the stock market was crashing, we had the subprime loans, all that stuff was going on. So if we started with January, of course, that's that's not good.
And it's important to remind everyone this was an election year, and it was Obama against that wacky Arizona senator.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that was a definite problem there. So,
yeah
well, day after New Year's in 2008, crude oil prices, $100 a barrel and $3.05 a gallon. Shane, General Motors lost $38 billion week or monthly or yearly thing.
And so, yeah, for 2007, yep.
Mm-hmm. So they were certainly in big trouble. And, you know, we're starting out 2008 with much like we are right now, where we're looking at $3 gas, $4 gas. You know, what's going to happen next? What's going down the line? So that was quite a month in January.
It was a kick in everybody's rump.
Yeah,
and of course, this was the last year of Bush's presidency, so we didn't mention that. And,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
if he hadn't had the Secretary of Treasury that he had, boy, things would have been real bad.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been a lot worse. Well, February, not much happened there, but when we move into March and April, boy. a lot of things happened there. Gas prices jumped up to $3.50 a gallon in most parts there, and hysteria started sinking in, and people are going to Gas Buddy to find out what the newest price of gas is.
So. That's right. Yeah, and oil even went higher.
It did.
Yeah, it went to 130. Yeah.
Yeah, as we go through the year, it certainly raised quite a bit. So, getting into April and May, we were up to $3.50 a gallon, as I said, and boy, oil went up to $130 a barrel on May 1st, and so that was kind of a shock to everybody. So, you know, they're parking their Winnebagos and everything in the yard, not taking them out anywhere. So.
Right. And it, of course, it affected the economy. People didn't travel that summer. And, it just put a real grind. And then, of course, the market's panicking during these months, as you're talking about it, and prices are getting worse and market's dropping, and it became it started the beginning of one of these, oh my gosh, it's not a bear market, don't panic, but
yeah.
No, you know, they always try to talk people out of what's really happening. Same thing now.
Well, that's where we find ourselves, that's for sure. And as we move into June and July of that year, of course, it gets even worse. In June, gas prices went over $4 a gallon, and speculators started jumping in. Shane, all the speculators on the oil, people started selling it short. People started buying stocks and whatever. And people were literally running out of gas, trying to get every drop they could out of their oil. And oil went to $147 a barrel on July 7th, 2008. And the average price went to up to $4.11. So, wow.
It was one of those moments where everybody's looking at each other and over their shoulders going, wow, how bad is this going to get? Well, it got worse.
Well, yes, it did. It got a lot worse. A lot more things happened as we went through the year. As we moved into August, oil prices did begin to fall. It fell down to $120 a barrel, and they were searching for some good with the somewhere within the oil prices. So that was a good thing. But even with what's amazing to me, Shane, is all the things that were coming with the market that year. Oil dropped and continued to drop all the way till the end of the year.
And the only hint of a real problem to come was in July. You know, the U.S. government had to bail out Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac. Those are the two companies that the U.S. Treasury or the U.S. government uses to lend money to people to buy housing, and they had to bail them out for $25 billion.
Yeah,
and the scary part about it was that no one still knew how bad these mortgage-backed securities were at the banks. Now, what the banks had done is bundled your loans. They took loans that they had with people, bundled them, and then they sold them to another bank because of the interest rate at the time. And that turned into a real terrible situation. The Federal Housing Authority had to step up and bail out $300 billion in new loans to help Federal Housing Authority. So all of a sudden, it's becoming big numbers now. Now it's serious, right?
Yeah. Now we're starting to get into some real serious stuff. People are losing their 401ks, their retirement funds gone, and it got really sad there for a while. And so we moved into September, then barrel it got down to $100 a barrel, first time in 6 months, and the idea of the serious financial recession is starting to be discussed. And I think officially we went into a recession in that month. So pretty desperate times back then.
And it turns out that the overnight bank rate set in London caused the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers because no one would lend to them. This is a rate overnight banks use to lend each other, so they have the cash every day to pay bills.
Right.
And they base it on their assets. Well, Lehman Brothers turns out has, ready for this, $98 billion in real estate.
Yeah.
And on their books. And, no one would lend them money. And boy, the down, when Lehman Brothers closed down, that was a real tough one. Because the U.S. government bailed out Bear Stearns, but they wouldn't bail out Lehman Brothers.
Yeah. And they bailed out AIG, the American, whatever it was.
Insurance group. And the reason that was important is 20 years earlier, in his last year of office, Reagan had done a deal with AIG to handle all the retirement money and funds for, guess what, government employees. So you couldn't let AIG go bankrupt, even though it was a worldwide organization. They had to protect all federal employees that were right now receiving money and would in the future. Mm-hmm. So that was an absolute necessity, and this is the beginning of the squeeze that your government found itself in, which we'll get to in a moment. Because at one point the Secretary of the Treasury brought in the major banks and said, sign here, you're doing this. And anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that AIG, the initial bailout was something like $85 billion, and then they went went up to 150.
That's correct.
By the time it was done. So that was a real, real adjustment for everybody. And so, so we moved into October, gas falls, or oil falls below $70 a barrel, and $1.99 gas starts showing up. So people are beginning to feel a little more comfortable getting their SUVs and their Winnebagos out. So, October was a really a tumultuous, a lot happened in October, Shane.
And remember the barometer or the measure was gold at that time. Where does, mm-hmm. you know, where does chicken money run? And so gold went to over $900 an ounce.
Yeah.
And we've seen it now over 2000, but it's no longer that measure. You know, right now it's the Bitcoin market for today. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to watch is, you know, that's the tell. Got to watch what happens to, you know, Bitcoin in particular to know if there's going to be a turn. Because if it keeps dropping, so is everything else.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking this morning, as you know, Shane, about the Russian oligarchs using Bitcoin to try to salvage their immense fortunes. And so,
well, they were already in it. They're the ones.
Well, they were. It. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. And they're the ones selling it. And mm-hmm. with what's gone on in China in the last week, it's the same thing. The billionaires over there, they're all paper billionaires, you know, mm-hmm. and can't sell their stock or anything. So what are they doing? Mm-hmm. Can't sell assets, can't sell real estate. So mm-hmm. Bitcoin, they're dumping their Bitcoin. And that's why it's the tell. When it bottoms, and it will, it will turn and it'll run.
Yeah. No, I think you're right on that. So, well, we moved into November, and several things happened there, of course, that we finally got gas to $1.72. Some stations were even doing 99-cent promotionals. And, you know, it was the... Is this the light at the end of the tunnel? And so it may have been, Shane. It may have been the end
well,
of the tunnel.
Well, yeah, the big promotional right now is 5 to 8 cents off a gallon if you pay for with cash.
Yeah.
Right mm-hmm. now today. So there you go. Yeah. Well, it's because you're filling up your tank, you know, with $125 and use a credit card, the gas station's got to pay 7% to the credit card company. Right?
Well, that's true, yeah. Well, the other thing too, Shane, is that, you know, there's a lot of talk about the oil companies are gouging us. Well, why didn't they gouge us, you know, a year ago when gas was $2? Why weren't they at $4 then? You know, and
exactly, yes.
Yeah, the local guy who runs your local gas station sets the price because of what they sell it to him for, you know,
exactly,
you know, if that's the, you know, production was down because of COVID, they're trying to come back, but the oil companies are a little squeamish because of the government's actions about oil and the new Green Deal and all of that and buying, you know, we were, you can debate whether we were energy independent or not, I guess, but most people say we were in 2019 and 2020, but you know, the buying foreign oil and you know, why not cut the restrictions, the $51 you know, the new green penalty on oil. I mean, why would you go out and drill this stuff? You haven't even sunk a hole in the ground yet. You're out $51 a barrel. Come on.
Well, and you know, they made a big deal this weekend about the, you know, the Emirates leaders and Saudi Arabia won't talk to Biden. Well, it's real simple. They've been through this now 4 times since the 30s and 40s mm-hmm. and 50s. Okay.
Yeah.
And all they know is that they're being told by their people, their experts, that by 2055, they're out of oil. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. keeps sucking it from them and demanding it from them. And they're looking at well, we're trying to actually, you know, do this in a manageable way because the more you press your reserves to produce, the sooner they shrink back mm-hmm. to 80% of the oil still in the ground. You're only getting 20% out. Mm-hmm. So it's a nomer that, you know, and a talking point there for everyone to use that they don't want to talk to them. They don't want to talk to them because they don't want to pump more oil.
Yeah. Well, they don't, you know, I mean, that's where we find ourselves. They're talking about opening the Bakken again,
that's
but
right.
They can't find workers.
And you know, the other thing that was important in November of 2008, of course, was the election that Obama won.
Yeah.
But the other side of that was, but you know, Bush is still president. So his secretary treasurer sits down, the six big banks in the U.S. in the Treasury Department and boardroom, and comes in with a $700 billion bailout and says, sign all this. We're buying preferred shares. Here are the amounts. This is what you're all getting. You're taking it. Well, Bank of America wasn't really having a problem, but he said, no, you're all doing it.
Yeah.
Interesting thing was,
you have to take it. Yeah.
And this is where I got my epiphany for solving the problem that the Social Security has, because mm-hmm. there's $6 trillion in debt, you know, government debt today. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the Secretary of the Treasury should sit down and with the FANG stocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Facebook,
Amazon, Netflix, and Google.
And say to me, okay, you guys are buying $1 trillion from our treasury. It's going to be converted to preferred. And by the way, the interest rate on the preferred is going to be 10%. And if you don't pay the 10%, we convert it to common shares on a 10-for-1 basis and sell it in the market. Mm-hmm. And that's how you fund Social Security. They did it with the banks back in 2008, $700 mm-hmm. billion. So a trillion today is similar, number one. Number mm-hmm. two, the banks paid them all back within 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, too, that the compounded this thing is that, they presented Bush presented a bailout package to Congress, and they refused it back in
That's
the
right.
summer. And they finally did do it, I think, in September. They went along with it, but it was pretty much too little too late. For these derivatives and the market, the backed securities and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all those Bear Stearns and everybody else.
And remember, by this time Iceland had gone bankrupt.
Yeah.
Most European countries were in worse situation than the U.S. because all the banks in Europe that took these mortgage-backed securities from American banks were now on the mm-hmm. hook.
Yeah.
And Greenland was near collapse. You know, Bush should have tried to buy Greenland back then. Anyway,
that would have been a good deal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, this literally rocked the financial system, mm-hmm. and it was near collapse. So it was something to watch, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and it was great that we were on the air during that. We got to go through all this
mm-hmm.
Every day. Well, not every day. We were on weekends then. But every week we got to explore this mess,
and we were ahead of the curve. We had it figured out. We told everyone mm-hmm. what was going on and what was going mm-hmm. to happen, and so it's all on the record, folks. You can go back and check it out.
There you go. Yeah.
So December now. Here comes December.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Craig says, just a reminder to viewers, the USA is still energy independent and has not been oil dependent. Two different things. Well, we were oil independent those 2 years. So, I mean, look it up. I remember when Dear Leader wanted to buy Greenland and met with the president of the Virgin Islands. Yeah, we talked about that. So, I don't know. I always thought buying Greenland would have been a good deal.
Yeah. Well, of course, he would have been a huge deal. Yeah.
So I don't know what the problem was. So, well, moving into December of 2008, of course, now we're at OPEC. They take 2 million barrels out of production to slow the price crunch as crude oil drops to $40 a barrel, the lowest in 4 years at that time. And Bush approves the emergency bailout of the big three in autos, $17.4 billion in rescue loans. And everybody took it but Ford, Shane.
That's right. And the important mm-hmm. notice about this is July 7th, mm-hmm. Of that year, oil went to its all-time high, $147 a barrel.
Right, exactly. So, yeah.
And you know, we almost touched it. They got to, you know, 137.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week. So, you know, here we go again, folks.
Yeah, there we go. So, all right. And yeah, it should be said, even when we were oil independent, we were still importing oil. So, yeah.
Well, we always were, because we saw it as what you and I keep telling people, and the oil companies know it too. Got to replace oil for cars, planes, trains, and anything else, because they want it for petrochemicals. Actually, there's more money in it for them to produce petrochemicals. So, the world needs that. If you want underwear, socks, and bike shorts, you know, towels, everything has oil. The reason your clothes don't wrinkle, it's got petrochemicals in it. So,
that's right. So, well, also in 2008 of December, Toyota had its first loss in 70 years of business. Sales for the Prius dropped. Low gas prices appear to be minimizing the hype, and gas goes to $1.64 a gallon the day after Christmas, crude oil goes down to a little below $40 a barrel. It goes down to $37 on December 31st, actually, and gas goes down to $1.61 a gallon. So,
yeah.
So starting out at almost $4 gas in January, we're down to $1.61 by December. So even with all the housing crash and everything else going on.
And so Bernanke is now head of the Federal Reserve. Appointed by Bush, excuse me, and in December of 2008, he drops the bank rate, the Fed rate, to 0%. Mm-hmm. Now, really important, he did this because this is what Japan did in '87 when they had their huge crash, and to save it, they dropped their bank rate. The Bank of Japan dropped its bank rate to zero, and you know, they started this process where you know the banks in Japan would buy the debt from their government and then sell it to the Bank of Japan, and this was called quantitative easing, so they could continue selling debt, which would fund the Japanese country. The banks would buy it because they were forced to, but then the Bank of Japan bought it from them. The Fed started to do the same thing with Bernanke, and that's how they got back into this bull market that turned, as we know, in March of 2009, after Obama became president. And the big thing is you know, you've had this sugar Fed deal where, the Federal Reserve has been the big buyer constantly every week, kiting your debt. You know, the banks buy it and then they sell it, you know, because it's virtual. It just goes, it's not actual cash. It's just virtual transfers on computers. Yeah. And that's why since last May, we've been trying to alert everyone to, you know, no one wants to even, you know, the 92% that is bought at home, no one's buying it. I mean, your own people are not buying your debt to fund your country. And we warned everyone in November. We called the crash. We called this crash in November. We gave you fair notice, you know, maybe keep what you have, but get your profits back. Don't sell it all. But get back to cash and get out and get, you know, whatever you put in, get out. And so this is why this is a terrific show for you to do today, Captain, because we've seen this before, 08 and 78. So here are your final thoughts. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was mine.
No, that's fine. Well, in 2009, March 9th, I believe it was, market went to 6,900. But by the end of 2009, it was back to 12,000. It was around 13,000 at the beginning of 2008. But it took until 2013 to get this thing back on keel, the stock market back, back to where it was.
Yeah, back over 10,000. Now look where it's at today, folks. 36,000 was the high.
Yeah.
So it's because of quantitative easing and this whole debt, you know, deal that they've done, as I say, kiting, you know, it's driven this market, you know, it's three times from 10,000 to 36. So we're like, why is this a big surprise to everybody?
Yeah. So it was quite a year back then. So it was a lot of fun. So well, it wasn't as bad as the 80s, Shane, when we had 10% unemployment, we had 10% inflation, we had 15% home loans, we had banks were charging their best customers 20% prime rate. I mean, come on, that was the that was living through that was
And that
pretty
was, yeah,
interesting.
and that resulted in 87, and that was because of commercial property and savings and loans. You know, Reagan allowed them to invest in commercial real estate. They were only supposed to be involved in residential, private real estate. But then they started, you know, if you belong to a savings and loan, you're an actual owner of it. What your mortgage, what you're in that, in it, it you, you know, is part of the deal. That's why it's a savings and loan. And long story short, we know what happened. A square foot, a tile. Look at it, the 12-inch tile on your floor. That was selling in Tokyo for $500,000, a square foot in Tokyo, $500,000. Their market went to 36. It's never gotten back. It's in the 20s now. And again, we've seen this story before. This is not, you know,
Now, this isn't new. This isn't
this
new at
isn't
all.
new. No.
With energy's always been an issue, Shane. It always has been.
100%.
You know,
100%. It's been everything for 120 years. You
I
bet.
was going to say,
100%.
you know, as you rightly pointed out, oil's in everything. We're not getting rid of oil, you know.
No.
If you want to, you know, fossil fuels, as I've said a million times, you know, alternative fuels are going to come. You know, they're going to come eventually.
Yeah, and this policy about not buying Russian oil, I mean, how stupid of a policy. You know what? Americans finally wake up to the fact, oh, you're buying oil every day from Russia. So what? Who cares? It doesn't matter where it's coming from. The price is set.
Sure.
And, you know, rather than now they're doing what we reviewed FDR did.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Back in
yeah.
41, July 26th, he cut off oil to Japan.
Yeah.
And he seized all Japanese assets in the United States, July 26, 1941. Go look at it, folks. Does this sound familiar? You know, then December 7th, and then in February of 42, he signs an executive order to intern the Japanese in your country. So none of this is unusual. None of this is special.
Yeah.
It's all historic.
Well, that's what I say. You know, those of us who have lived through this before, we, right or wrong, probably don't take it as seriously as people who haven't lived through it. You know, if there's, I mean, people who haven't seen $4 gas, or, you know, their parents saw it, but they didn't. You know, now they're starting to drive, and now, oh my God, I got a $4 gas here. The same thing happened in 2008. Everybody started thinking about hybrid vehicles, and they didn't have electric cars yet, but they did have hybrids. So everybody was looking at hybrids, and now we see everybody looking at electric cars now. And so,
I'd like to be considered the world's greatest
prognosticator.
Prognosticator, thank you.
Yeah,
you know,
no problem.
Why
I'm here.
The fortune teller, the market guru.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not going to take credit for that.
Yeah.
I'm a historian. I read, I reference, I study, I recognize what has occurred and why. And, you know, this situation is worsened by what Putin did. But the cause of it is all of COVID and the debt your country created. To somehow get through COVID. For them to say it's not responsible is as bad as a bank saying, well, you know, mortgage-backed securities weren't supposed, but yes, they were.
Yeah.
So someone is responsible. In this case, it's directly your government. And the sad thing is that you and I have to review this in our podcast and a show every week and hopefully find a way for people to survive it and help them do so. We will. That's what you and I are good at. That is what we have been very, very good at.
Well, back in 2008, we predicted oil would go down when it was 147. We predicted it would go down, and it did, in spite of all the things going on at that time. So So
and
yeah,
in 2013 when in 2013 was over $100. You know, I predicted it would go to $35-$40, and it did.
And it did.
In 2014, same thing happened. So it's not that we're, well, I'd like to think I'm brilliant, but I'm just well-read. That's all I am. I'm just well-read.
Yeah. Well, that's where we find ourselves. So, you know, we're finding ourselves in March here. We're going into the summer with a more expensive summer blend. We're probably gonna get. I wouldn't be surprised in the areas that have special blends, like California, Chicago's got about four or five different blends. You're gonna see $5-$6 gas probably in those areas. I don't know that we're gonna be much above $4 here in Montana. You know, you guys in Canada are paying $6-$7 in a gallon, and that's a normal price for you.
That's so. Right. And I really strongly think that if Putin keeps pressing, he's 3 weeks in now and losing. He's losing. And this Nomer, everyone thought, let's send them the Polish jets. And, you know, I went and did a deep dive. Hope we get to talk about it. But the bottom line is, look, folks, Ukraine has an intact Air Force.
Yeah, they do. Okay,
and they have pilots, but they can't fly because the Russians have, you know, missile takedown weapons. So, if they go up, they're not going to lose in a dogfight. They're just going to get blown out of the sky. They don't need the Polish planes. This is just a misdirection and pushing people towards a war that shouldn't be happening. Anyway, long story short, yes, I believe I really do think that oil will spike if this continues to 135.50. Particularly if Putin starts getting his butt kicked and he becomes really belligerent. I mean, he's already belligerent.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, and by the way, go look at the video on the Mail, M-A-I-L. They've got all kinds of mail. And you'll see all these tanks that they've captured, the Ukrainians, the Russians.
Yeah.
And that they have a Z written on the side. And that's what the purpose of that Z was. You know, that's when
Zelensky,
yeah, that's right. And that's why Putin, you know, 2 weeks ago called them Nazis, you know, that it was a swastika. Well, it's not. It's a Z for their president.
Yeah.
But it tells everyone, Ukrainians, that this Russian tank is ours. And trucks and tanks and jeeps. I mean, they're capturing all kinds of equipment. They're capturing all kinds of, what happens when they start getting to 5,000 or 10,000 Russian soldiers they've captured. You don't think that's not a tool to negotiate with?
Well, I was going to say, the people in Russia are going to be wondering, hey, what's going on with my kid? You know, is my kid dead? Is my kid captured? Is my kid...
if I'm a Ukrainian and I'm interrogating, I get the guy's name, he'll give me his name.
Yeah.
Bam, Facebook, send it on his Facebook. We've got your kid.
Yeah.
All you have to do is, you know, leave and we'll send him home. You know, that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
Well, they've cut out Facebook in Russia.
Well, no, but you.
Yeah. There's ways to communicate. Yes. Yeah. You can communicate with people. So, they can't shut everything down, I guess. But at least we didn't have a war back then, or at least, we were sort of at war, I guess. We were in Iraq and. I don't know. That was going on. I guess
it's not working at home. You saw this whole thing now, the last 48 hours of the broadcast in Moscow, where the woman comes on stage with a sign, no war. They're lying. It's propaganda. Don't believe. I mean, this is, now it becomes a personal danger for him because, again, 122 oligarchs in Russia, all billionaires. They don't want this. They don't want, this.
Well, they thought it was going to be a cakewalk. They thought it was going to be, they thought the Ukrainians would lay down their arms just like Afghans did, you know, and they figured, we'll just walk in and take this thing over. And they didn't realize there was going to be, there's going to be that kind of resistance. So.
Well, and the other thing that's really important, too, is that Ukraine's an agricultural center for food. You know, like it's like 50% of the world food, especially, oil, sunflower oil, which in the parts of the world that they sell, you know, it's a big product plus their grain. The reason I'm only mentioning this is because you know, when you talk about Taiwan, it's the 12th biggest trader of the United States. So, you know, this isn't the same parallel. There's not the same contrast. You can't go thinking you're going to take out over Taiwan, being Z.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chinese have never been successful at that. They don't invade.
Yeah.
You know, they don't. I mean, yeah. You know, people think the Chinese invaded Europe. No, that was Mongols. You know, Genghis Khan was from Mongolia. He wasn't from China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's certainly true. Well, I'm you know, I've still got the conspiracy theory that is falling apart. That, yeah. I think Putin and Xi sat down together and said, "Hey, if you support me invading the Ukraine and back me up, then I'll support you when you take over Taiwan." And I think Xi is thinking, "Well, I don't know. This is not looking very good."
That was a huge win for Xi. I mean, he doesn't lose. He says, "Sure, I'll help you.
Sure.
And, you know, I'll buy your oil and gas because he needs it. Yeah. He'll get it cheaper. So he's going to get it." India's already announced yesterday that Russia's offered to sell oil to him with a 20 or 30% discount to the market. I mean, this is what's laughable. This
I know.
Is good stuff, right?
Well, so,
and then G goes, "Well, if this doesn't work out." And if he's stupid enough to push these guys, because if Putin pushes NATO into a conflict, then G's off the table. He's not going near Taiwan, because if NATO is going to do that, then CETO, which is the Southeast Treaty Organization, they're going to protect Taiwan.
Yeah.
Okay, so America's locked in. It's World War One treaties that caused the war all over again, causing another world war. All right, that's where you're at. That's it.
Well, and, you know, everybody thinks Putin would resort to nuclear weapons. All Putin has to do is turn off the gas in Europe. Yeah. You're done. You know?
No, there's no way his military. Look, it's not a big country. You know, it's not even a dozen rockets to take out the entire country of Russia right now.
I was going
to
say most of Russia's unarable land, it's mountainous. It's you know, you can't grow anything in half of it, and Siberia is a, you know, nightmare.
92% of it, less than 1% has people on it, like farms, industry. I mean, 92% is just barren, well, mostly wasteland, no one lives there. Well, forests and so forth, but
all right well, I think we've kind of done this horse in.
We opened the barn door and let it out. Now everyone knows.
That's true. Here we go. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about this on our Saturday radio show. So be prepared for that, I guess. We'll go into more depth of what we did today. This is just kind of a tease for our 3 hours on Saturday.
In the bag now, it's up to 375 companies have left Russia. But did you see 51 million people locked down in China now because of 5,000 COVID cases? Mm-hmm. So 51 million. Oh, are you kidding? There's 35 million in Canada. Like,
I know.
I mean, China's in dire sources, man.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most COVID cases in 2 years in one day.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, hey, don't forget, we are on radio. We're live every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. Don't forget the AM, KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. No sign up, no email, no nothing needed. All you got to do is listen. You can call us, you can text us. And, of course, if you missed any of our shows or any of our podcasts, our videos, they are also on KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and you'll go right over there to it. So it's a wonderful thing we do here, Shane. So
it's amazing. You're the captain, you're the producer, director, and boy, it's a terrific opportunity and a great pleasure to be your co-host. So
all right,
we're gonna get her done.
Well, also, and of course, if you'd like to do something like this on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, we use StreamYard. So there's a free link in the description below. There's a free version available, so check it out. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for watching. And hey, don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be advised when we have another podcast. And like us, leave a comment because, well, people like that over at Facebook and YouTube and everywhere. So hey, give us a little extra boost if you do that. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. So we will see you on Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time with our next video.